D1, number 4A.
Well, let's see that we fulfill our time, the 6,000-year period. Just as Jesus had to fulfill the Old Testament, so let's fulfill the 6,000-year period where consciousness rises to that point of science, of the One, where we think in terms of synonymous terms, and no more of qualities of thought. That does not say that if we come to the sixth day, that this excludes the first 5 days. They are still there, they are still necessary, because they belong to the whole. But the focus is shifted on the sixth day, the synonymous terms. And let us see that that sixth day starts with thoughts that are spiritual realities, God thoughts, but does not end there. It is the creeping things, the cattle, the moving living beings that are depicted through qualities of thoughts. Now, the glossary gives us just that. The glossary says it contains the metaphysical interpretation of Bible terms, giving their spiritual sense, which is also their original sense. And the glossary gives quite a number of spiritual interpretations of characters of the Old Testament. And if you take those characters of the Old Testament and in a general view, without going into any detail, in a general view, look at them, they all symbolize these beginnings of manhood, namely those qualities of thought. Let me just read down, pinpointing down through the Old Testament, the interpretation. Just for your spiritual ear, not to think about them, but just for your spiritual ear to see how much really they correspond to those qualities which Mrs. Eddy gives in interpreting the beginning of the sixth day of creation. Now, in the sixth day of creation, where I have read down those qualities of moral courage, freedom, fearlessness, diligence, promptness, perseverance, and so on. And so it is with those characters of the Old Testament. Abel, watchfulness, self-offering, Noah, knowledge of the nothingness of material things and of the immortality of all that is spiritual, Japheth, spiritual peace, Shem, kindly affection, love rebuking error, reproof of sensualism, Adam, fidelity, faith, trust in good, Jacob, inspiration, Asher, hope, faith, spiritual compensation, Gad, haste towards harmony, Judah, spiritual understanding of God appearing, the appearing of manhood, Benjamin, renewal of affection, self-offering, a gleam of the infinite idea, that which comforts, consoles, supports, Joseph, blessed, pure affection, blessing its enemies, Moses, moral courage, a type of moral law, Can you hear the touch? This is the beginning of manhood. The beginning. So don't let's stay there. Let's go on. Let's go on to that standpoint in the sixth day, where the Word as the Word changes over to the Christ as Christ. Let us make man. Now all these characters that have been metaphysically defined and put straight into its spiritual sense in the glossary, not one of them is called idea. Not one of them. They are not yet man. Not one of them, those character, is defined as idea. The nearest was, with Benjamin, a gleam of the idea. A gleam, but only a gleam, so it's only a gleam, not the idea itself. Not one of them is called the image and likeness. Not one of them. Not one of them is called man. Not even man. All qualities. Wonderful qualities. Wonderful qualities of which John Dolley used to say they are qualities which enable us to carry what we see spiritually. A source of strength to support Christian healing. You see, they are wonderful qualities. But let's see that they are not depicting neither idea nor depicting man as the image and likeness of God. The nearest was Benjamin, not even Jesus. He is defined here as the highest human corporeal concept of the divine idea. He is not defined as the divine idea. But man is idea. So not even Jesus. He came to fulfill the first 4,000-year periods. So only when we go further in the sixth day, we really come to man as Elohim's life, truth, and love's own image and likeness. Whatever life, truth, and love perceives and is conscious of and knows, this is the infinite idea, earlier called man. And so only when we take from the glossary those definitions which come after the Bible, mother, man, children, then she puts the definition nearer, nearer, nearer to the synonymous term. Mother, as life, truth, and love. Children, as spiritual thoughts representing life, truth, and love. Then man, as the compound idea of infinite spirit. The spiritual image and likeness, the full representation of mind, capital M. Can you hear? See, I mean, not the noise up here. That's a wedding going on now. And here goes another wedding on. That wedding of principle to its idea, as male and female, as comprehending and conceiving that there is nothing going on but mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love being conscious of itself. And that's what's going on. And to understand that is being. To be or not to be, that's now the question really. So, could I show you this way how this sixth day the day of today. That day which in the 6,000-year period comes to an end. How somebody has to realize it and to try fulfill it. Here we are. So, what we have learned from the Bible as the beginning of manhood, where we have seen Abel is me, Noah is me, Abraham is me, Jacob is me, Moses is me, all those characters we have seen is me. That's the great revelation which John Dolly brought when he gave the Bible talks. For the first time in history, those characters were been taken out of time and history into the metaphysical explanation of ever-present facts of being. But let's see, they are the cattle, the living creatures. Let's go on to men. Therefore, let's go on to see that after the word of the word, these Bible characters, these wonderful Bible characters, where we say Noah is me, where individualized, classified ideas are me. We go further, out of metaphysics, out of the metaphysical interpretation of the Bible, into the science of the Bible. And the science of the Bible comes when we go to the Christ as Christ, where we see, oh, man is that term which we attribute to that high consciousness where we see that life, truth and love are conscious of themselves. To that we have attributed the term man, a full sense. So now when we see that, we begin to see that I am not only seeing that Noah is me and that Abraham is me, I begin to see mind is me, true spirit is me, soul is me, principle is me, life, truth, love is me. Can you see that?
Yes.
It's no more an individualized idea which I can see. They are not characters in time and history, they are present facts, but now I can rise and see, after the qualities of thought come the synonymous terms, and they are me. Mind is me. Why is mind me? Because man can have no other mind but that mind which is God. Therefore, because man, who, by the way, is a synonymous term in the old language for mind, in the Indo-Germanic, mind and man had the same root, quite rightly. So because I see that man has no other mind but that mind which is God, the divine mind, I can see that mind is me. Because I have no other spirit but that spirit which is God, I can see, well, spirit is me, soul is me, principle is me, because principle knows me, life experiences me, truth is conscious of me, and love fulfills me. It's mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love as synonymous terms which are me. And no more just the cattles, and the Noahs and the Abrahams and the Moses and the Jacobs and the Benjamins and so on. I lift it now to the synonymous terms. Mind conscious of itself. That is called me. Spirit conscious of itself. That is called me. Soul conscious of itself, that is called me. Principle, life, truth and love conscious of itself, that's called me. That's the only eye I have. Now, I can go further than that. I can go in the diagonal, in the sixth state, to Christianity, as Christianity, where I see the multiplication of the idea. I can see mind is not only me. Mind is the mind of all. I multiply. I enlarge my sense again. And I begin to realize in those quiet evenings in the winter that all there is, what we have been calling man and mankind, is nothing else than mind, being the mind of all. Spirit being the spirit moving all. Soul identifying all. Principle governing all. Life eternalizing all. Truth being conscious of all. And love knowing its own fulfillment. I don't need to think about mankind anymore. I multiplied it even more. It's all. All the varied reflections, she says, there are reflections of life, truth, and love. But I can go even further than that. I can go further in the sixth day to science as science, and even drop the all. Why should there be an all? And I begin to realize really that what that sixth day tells me is that mind is the mind of all mind, and that spirit is the spirit of all spirit, and that soul is the soul of all soul, and that principle is the principle of all principle, and that life, capital L, it's the life, capital L, of all life, small l. And that truth is the truth of all truth. And that love, capital L, is the love, capital L, of all the loves. No one has any love. There's only one love, and that's that love which God is. Where does there enter any more people, situation, circumstances, anything? But you know, when I say these things, that life, that mind is the mind of all mind, it sounds perhaps rather silly or simple or without meaning. But when one thinks about it, and says, what does that mean? You feel that that gives an enormous realm. That gives you the enormous salvation, an enormous peace, an enormous comfort, an enormous certainty, an enormous security, an enormous trust, because you see, mind, God, mind, capital M, is actually mind, capital M, mind, God, of all mind. There isn't anywhere a mind which is not capitalized mind. If it's capitalized, well, then everything is okay with that mind. Then we don't realize any more minds many. See, then that point of science. Can you see now how science understood resolves mortal mind? It does not resolve by taking a divine mind and then hammering on a mortal mind until it cracks down. It is... yes, well, that's Well, let's be frank about it. We're friends or enemies or I don't know what with other minds. And then we think, well, there is only the divine mind. But how does that divine mind get rid of that mortal mind there? You see? When we touch the sixth day of creation, from the standpoint of the synonymous term, where it says that mind only knows itself, let us make man in our image, our likeness. There is no other mind but the mind which is God. Then you know that there is no other mind but the mind of all mind. That there is no other spirit but the spirit of all spirit. All that moves anybody, that moves any situation. And that soul is the soul of all soul, of all soul sense. These things, you see, I said to you, they become so simple in terms. And if one gets them in their meaning, they are tremendous. If we don't get them in their meaning, then infinite progression is abstract glory, not concrete glory. But we can make it concrete glory, each one of us, by just loving it, loving it, loving it. So, if you consider again now as a whole the sixth day of creation, which gives us the seven as synonymous terms, standpoint of the synonymous terms, and the four as the calculus, the dynamics of those seven. And that is the day which is called man. What you get really is that sense that all that there is ever going on is really nothing else but mind operating as the word, as the Christ, as Christianity, and as science. There is nothing going on but spirit operating as the Word, as Christ, and Christianity, and science. That's going on by itself, not because we think of it or make it do it. And so soul and spirit, soul and principle, and life and truth and love are constantly operating as the Word, as Christ, as Christianity and science. And that is altogether called the compound idea. And I don't like to call it anymore man. It's a compound idea. It's an infinite calculus of idea. And that's the only being there is. There is nothing going on in all the world but this chart. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, as Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And that's being. No matter if you call that being God or if you call that being man, it's being. And it's the only being there is. And if we touch that, we touch really reality at its deepest level. I think I have to stop here because I want to take to the seventh day, which now is necessary in order to grasp this sixth day properly. So we'll do that tomorrow.